I think I just said that we're going to work through the process. Did I just say that? But I'm going to work through the process just like I always do. We're going to evaluate all the players. We're going to evaluate everybody. And we're going to go like our business like we always do.
I love him when he's annoyed.
Oh, I do too. Yes. That's my favorite Zim.
You almost have to ask him a question like a second or third time to annoy him
just to see what he'll do.
Just to annoy him a little. I don't blame him. He preceded that by saying, you know.
Didn't I just answer that?
We don't know what we're going to do. They don't know what they're going to do with quarterback yet. I mean, once you ask, you got to ask the question, I suppose. But once he says no, what, you know.
Can we put to rest, though, one thing that I know they are not going to do? Can we stop with the Drew Brees stuff, please?
There's only one little guy just about the same height as Drew Brees who keeps passing that out.
Well, and again, I'm not.
He's already said he's staying in New Orleans.
And if New Orleans is not going to allow him to leave, number one, if he was available, you make the call, but that's not going to happen. He's not going to become available.
God, I heard that being discussed today.
Aaron Rodgers, he might get cut. Let's go get him.
thanks to Zim for doing the season ender after a tough loss, by the way. Denny stopped doing them babies. And I was trying to figure out, I think he did one in 94. And then
when the cabal happened.
Then the sexual harassment thing came out.
Oh, yeah.
But I think he kept doing them. But I can't remember which one. Maybe after the cabal hit in 97 and then they got beat the next week, then he might have stopped doing them.
Okay.
He stopped doing them. I know we were all raising hell that we had to talk to him after the 99 loss, you know, the 90, mm-hmm. 98 season. He never did a season ender. And that was a kind of a tough not to get a season ender from the coach after you lose one like that, right?
When you were the heavy favorite to win it all. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah,
but Denny didn't do him so good. Thanks.
You know, the best, though, was after he was fired, when they followed him out to his truck and he had just washed his truck.
You can find me on the high road.
But he had washed his truck and his doors were frozen shut. And he's got 9 cameras around him and he can't get the door open. Yeah. I actually felt bad for poor Denny.
Then they were saying he wasn't fired. Remember, Chris Mortensen reported the morning that he was gone.
Yes.
That day. And Sid was still saying he wasn't going to get fired. So then Sid, nobody got fired. Sid was denying Denny got fired more than Denny was denying it because he was mad because Chris Mortensen had the scoop. Denny, basically, they called him up to get fired and he said, I quit, you know, because that was kind of like Norv Turner. I quit. No. Okay, good. Yeah, we're going to say you quit. Anyway. Denny was, that was good when the stampede chasing him out. That was, and for some reason, I think it must have been cold because they let us all kind of had the run of the place that day. We were downstairs and we were in the weight room and we were in the locker room and it was just chaos and cameras all over the place and they completely lost control of the situation when Denny got fired. Anyway, I refuse now. There's nobody I respect more as a football writer than Kevin Seaver. Mm-hmm. He's terrific. And he's a great reporter. But I heard him tell, when he talked to Judd and
Mackey.
What's the other guy's name? The guy that wants Drew Brees?
Yep.
Mackey. That he thinks Keenum's going to get franchised on a one-year deal.
You know, and then there was a lot of...
I cannot believe they're going to give Case Keenum $23 million.
Well, I would understand why they would do it. I personally probably would not, because I think now, but I guess the reason that I believe that they would do it, Pat, is that position in this league are so starved for people that can do that job.
Then you have to say goodbye to Teddy, don't you?
Yeah.
Because Teddy's not going to, if you're going to tell Teddy that we're giving this guy $23 million, you're not giving him $23 million not to play.
Right. Right? You're not franchising Case Keenum to have him compete for the starting job. You're saying he's going to be the starter.
And that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think deep in Zim's soul, even though
Teddy's
Teddy was not active, for the playoff games, and I'm not sure how to interpret that, but deep in his soul, Zim wants Teddy. Zim loves Teddy.
I read into
Zim thinks Teddy's smarter than Case as far as playing quarterback.
I read into Bridgewater being inactive and Bradford being active is in that I don't think they believed Teddy was ready to play this season.
I think the fact that Zim today said it's a, you know, that the basically that it takes 2 years to come back was an indicate. I think, okay, Bradford can play. Do we want to put Teddy out there and get him hurt if we have to put him in a game? You know, the last I don't think they counted on either of them to play, but they wanted one of them out there and playing that. I think maybe it was just, okay, we got Teddy. He's made this much progress. We're this far along. Do we want to get him out
but
there?
But what's funny is when all three quarterbacks are healthy, and I know that that's a giant question mark, Sam Bradford's the best quarterback of the three.
He probably is. Yes, he is. But he's also even more stationary than Teddy is, even pre-injury. Yeah. Anyway. So I don't know, but I can't give Case Keenum $23 million.
I can't either.
And then after game five of next season, say, well, we got to go to Teddy.
Okay, well, would they franchise him in the hopes that a team like Arizona would offer you something for him? Is that part of the madness? Is that part of the method
here?
No,
I think the only reason you franchise him is to
avoid having to sign him to a long-term deal, but you'll have him back.
You franchise him, no other team's going to pay him $23 million. He's not going to get as much money as Mike Glennon. I'm telling you.
I don't know about that.
I'm telling you.
I don't know about that.
Glennon got, what, $15 million a year?
He's not going to get that much money.
See, Pat, I think somebody will give. I think somebody like Arizona.
You got to think you're going to win to give it to him. Arizona makes sense because I don't think they realize
how lousy
they are.
I don't think Cleveland. I don't think a team like Cleveland will give Case Keenum that kind of money because they're terrible. No. But I think if you're Arizona and you kind of feel like you want to go on one last run,
Cleveland is they're going to take Mayfield first.
No. Really?
Didn't I see that the other day?
Holy cow.
They're going to take him first?
I think he's going to be a good pro. I mean, he's kind of a knucklehead.
He's
but
a
I think
six footer.
Right. But he's got, I think he's got
Let's
a great
hope he
arm.
He never meets Manziel. Manziel.
Well, Cleveland, they have to take a quarterback.
Johnny Manziel. To. Still my favorite story on Johnny Manziel is those kids from Minnesota who met him one night in a bar when he was still at A&M. And they met him and they drank until about 2 a.m. and they ended up, they were staying at the same hotel and these Minnesota kids, 9 a.m., somebody's banging on the door and they're hungover, they can't breathe.
They were out till 5.
They open the door and it's Manziel's. Come on, boys, we're going to do it again. the father of one of these youth is a good friend of mine, and those guys were impressed with Johnny's partying ability.
He knows how to rally.
Yes, he did. Wow. 9 a.m. Let's go. Come on. We'll be back. Kip Scoggins, Star Tribune sports columnist. Tom Brady will be favored in a game for his 50th straight start in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I would think it would be hard to not give him the slight edge. But I will say this, Patrick. Watching that Eagles defense up front in person, they're going to make it hard on him. That defense is legit. And that defense, the thing that they can do that not a lot of teams can do, that they can get pressure with just four. They don't blitz a lot. No. I worked in a locker room the other night after the game and talking to Fletcher Cox. He said, if you see us blitzing a lot, something's gone wrong. So they like to get pressure with their front, just their front four. So, you know, I think they'll make it difficult on them, but it'd be hard-pressed to pick against the Patriots at this point.
But Jacksonville would have beaten them if the coach didn't hate Blake Bortles more than the fans do. The guy made plays for you the week before. He made plays in the first half on Sunday, and then the second half you handed to Leonard Fournette and to gain 2 yards on first down every play. It was there was a team that they had a chance to beat them too because the Patriots couldn't block them either.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly had them on the ropes, and, you know, they just got tight, and that's what happens. Seems like a lot of teams, that happens when they play the Patriots, whether it's a close game or they're winning. They just get tight, and I don't know if it's the Belichick mystique or what, or Brady or whatever, but that tends to happen a lot when teams are going against the Patriots.
Hey, congratulations on taking the Ricey theory of being on the road for events and take the first plane out of town. We still got guys who aren't here yet.
Well, that's generally my practice anyways. I just like to get home and give myself the best chance to
be home.
To get home. But when I saw the snowstorm coming, I knew I made the right call at that point. We barely made it in. We were delayed about an hour, and then not long after we got in, they shut the runways down. So I got lucky, I guess.
I can't believe they're going to give Keenum a franchise tag. I don't buy it.
Well, I'm writing about this tomorrow, Pat, and you know who I call first? I called Drew Brees.
No, we were just laughing about that.
No, call him.
Yeah, say, well.
Here's $30 million. Come play. He's going to say no, right?
Yes.
But you have to call him.
Yeah.
That absolutely has to be your first call and say, we'll give you $30 million and the best chance that you're going to have to get to the Super Bowl.
He might think he's got a better team down there, though.
He might. Yeah. He's probably going to say no, but I think you owe it to him. What's the worst that can happen? He can say no. And then you know who I call? Kirk Cousins. If he doesn't get franchised, we seem to be thinking there's only three quarterbacks that they can talk to be their guy. And why? You call Drew Brees first, Kirk Cousins second. Think big. I mean, you're close to being a Super Bowl team, and why not give yourself the best chance? I think Keenum is their guy, but boy, if you tell me I have to pay him $15, $16, $17 million a year for a couple years, boy, that's hard to swallow. Yeah. Maybe they can get him at a better rate, but if they do franchise him, Pat, that just tells you that, you know, they want to see that he can perform at a high level without Pat Shurmur. And they're not completely sold to give him a 3 or 4 year deal and massive money. But the franchise tag for quarterback is going to be, what, $21 million?
Yep.
That's a lot of money, but it's only 1 year.
How about giving Giants a third rounder for Eli?
I don't know.
I don't know if he's much better than Case Keenum, huh?
How much does he? Well,
he's got three left. I think he's got 3 years left.
But how many good years does he have left?
He didn't have a good one this year, so.
I know. That would make me nervous. I think I would move on from Bradford. Just his recurring knee problems, that would just scare me. Bridgewater, I just don't think you can give him a big contract, and I honestly don't think anybody else can. Talk about a gamble. If somebody pays him close to starter money, but even, relatively good money and tells him he's going to be their starter, that's just a major gamble. So I think Keenum is your guy if that's the way you're focused. But if, like I said, I'm calling Brees. I'm going to make him tell me no, and then I'm probably going to push hard after Kirk Cousins. Now, he's going to want a longer term than Brees, obviously. He's going to get a massive payday, but why not? I mean, you're this close. Why not, think big and see if you can really, really upgrade a quarterback to go with that defense and then try to make a real push for the Super Bowl?
What the hell happened Sunday? I still haven't gotten a good answer.
I don't know. It was an all-time no-show. Other than, it didn't surprise me that the offense struggled because the Eagles' defense is really good. But to see a Mike Zimmer defense look that confused and that sloppy tackling, and I mean, when are you ever going to see Harrison Smith play like that again? I mean, that was as bad as Harrison Smith can look, and it's just stunning when you see them giving up 10 of 14 on third down, giving up so many deep balls, missed tackles, missed assignments. It was just, they just laid an egg, and I have no idea why.
I swear I heard this on the radio broadcast, I think, about an hour before kickoff, not the local radio broadcast, the national one, that Foles had not completed a pass since he became the starter that traveled in the air 20 yards or more past the line of scrimmage.
It doesn't surprise me because if you looked at their game plan against Atlanta, it was all just quick rhythm, get the ball out of his hands, short stuff, and just try to, let him break tackles and get him in a rhythm. But they said going into this game, Pat, though, that they were going to be aggressive and they felt like they could take some shots down the field, and that's exactly what they did. And when you have that offensive line, their offensive line is big and physical. That's a really good offensive line. And so I think they didn't fear – the Vikings pass rush like a lot of teams do, and I think they felt like they would have some time for him to sit back there and throw the ball deep, and they did. And so, yeah, you know, I give Doug Peterson, their head coach, a lot of credit. He's a heck of a play caller. I mean, his game plans are creative. And think about a good situation for Foles. So Doug Peterson was in the NFL. Now, he was, you know, he's a backup, but he was a quarterback for 12 seasons. Their offensive coordinator, Frank Reich, was the NFL quarterback for 14 seasons. So both of those guys, I think, have a pretty good feel about how to call a game, how to put together a game plan, where to attack. And so I guess we probably shouldn't be too surprised that Nick Foles has had some success here in the playoffs, because he's surrounded by some pretty smart people that are putting him in a good spot to succeed.
And it is I heard a friend of mine who's a good football guy said that his theory was that the defensive backs of the Vikings play with a clock, you know, 4 seconds, five seconds. You got to cover, and when you the long pass for the touchdown to Jeffrey, it was 5 seconds before he threw the ball. That they start looking around after about 4 seconds to see where the quarterback is, and
Well, on that play, I think in particular, I think Everson Griffin and both Danielle Hunter
swiped that forward. They were right in his basket, you know.
Yeah, they swiped at him. So I don't know if Harrison and Terrence Newman sort of peeked back and thought that they had a sack there, because they clearly gave up on the player, or something happened that he was able to kind of take off on him. The other big play was a flea flicker. You know, they got caught on that one. But, their offensive line protected him great. And the thing that I liked what they did was they were really good in short game. They got him over the middle of the field, intermediate. They took the shots down the field. So it wasn't like they were just so predictable. They were really hitting them on all spots. And you don't see a Mike Zimmer team get exposed like that and look that confused. But Doug Peterson had just a terrific game plan for him.
No, and so did you have any interaction with the Eagles fans?
I did not. We got in quick and got out quick. So I saw a lot of it, heard a lot of it.
They're fun. If they don't beat you to death.
Well, it's a shame, and you never know what the percentage is, but they obviously had a higher percentage than what we normally see. But, you know, I knew there was going to be issues when I got up Sunday morning and the police are out there putting Crisco on the lamppost. I'd never seen that. And, you know, it makes perfect sense, but the fact that they had to go to – we were talking about this. How many celebrations do you think they had to go through before they said, you know, we should put Crisco on the
try to get these guys –
It wasn't just one. I mean, it probably went on for years, and then they finally said, we got to do something to stop this, so let's break up the Crisco. But it's an interesting town for sure, and it's unfortunate the way some of those idiots act. You wish they would just start grabbing those guys and hauling them off to jail and prosecute them, and maybe that would knock some of it off. Because if you just, you know, sort of laugh at it and turn your head and say, that's just the Eagles fans, well, it's going to keep happening.
Chip, I mean,
at some point you got to crack down.
Chip, the Crisco didn't work, and the fans still climbed the light towers, and then they taunted the Crisco. They started a Crisco chant after the game.
Well, I saw a video where some guy drove a dune buggy or something up the steps to the Rocky. How many beers do you have to be in?
We had two police horses that got punched. Two police horses.
It was something. So are there any long-term concerns about the way this defense got eaten up the last six quarters? I give all credit to Breeze for the collapse against the Saints, but I'm wondering if you know, the pass rush was not what it had been the last 5-6 weeks of the season. I mean, they weren't giving up any points, but.
Well, I don't know long-term, because I still think, you know, you have terrific talent there. I mean, you got front-line talent. Now, the Breeze was just phenomenal, and he's going to make a lot of people look bad. I don't know. I don't know if Everson, if his foot injury was worse than what we thought, and that kind of slowed him down a hair. I would like to think it's just sort of an unfortunate timing, bad day at the office, because I just don't think with Zimmer's scheme and the players that we've seen all year that, you would think that this is something you have to worry about going forward. Now, they definitely need to add some more talent. You know, they need to find more corners and maybe another safety and get a three technique in there. But I don't think that we should just, you know, I don't think the sky is falling on our defense. They just had a really, really bad day at the worst possible time.
Hey, 41 Donut, this was worse, and this is the reason. Because that team, the 2000 team, had guys that had quit. They had Randy Moss was their team leader. They had guys that had packed it in. To see this team get beat 36, because they didn't have those guys that are going to pack it in. And I don't know if they didn't look like they were packing it in. They looked more like they were just disorganized and confused.
Yeah, I wouldn't fault their effort or anything. This, to me, was just, I think it's worse because you came in, a couple things. One, you have the number one defense in the NFL, and to get exposed like that is just bad. Two, you had this incredible miracle finish the week before that you think anything, like, this is the team of destiny, right? If something like that's happened, this is destiny. And three, you're that close to hosting the Super Bowl in your backyard. So you combine all those things and just the euphoria we felt in town last week after that. After that Saints win, and then to lay an egg, it's just that's as bad as it gets. I don't know; you're hard pressed to find much worse.
Hey, Chip, one last question: Gopher assistant coach who recruited the Georgia kids, Lawrence, was it?
Yeah.
So we promoted. We make a big deal about promoting him to assistant head coach to keep him around. And then he still goes to A&M. They just came with an offer that the Gophers were not willing to match. Or what was that? What did you hear about that?
I think it's a couple things. I think that might be his home back there. I think he has ties there. And then also at SEC money. I don't know what the contract's called, but the way Texas A&M is shelling out money, I'm sure they paid him quite handsomely to come down there because he is a terrific recruiter. So I don't know if the Gophers even tried to step up and match it or try to keep him, or I don't have really inside knowledge on that, but I'm sure the contract he got down there was pretty substantial.
Well, he must have had other people coming at him because they'd given him the raise before Jimbo before Jimbo went to A&M.
Yeah, when you give a guy a title like that after he has a great recruiting season, that means, you know, he's probably going to be in hot demand by other big schools. And if that's his home and he gets a big raise to go down there, it's kind of hard to knock the guy, you know.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Chip.
Thanks, Matt.
Chip Scoggins, Star Tribune Sports Columnist. We will be back. I guarantee it. Gophers will beat the Cats tonight.
Prediction.
Yeah, they got Amir Coffey back, though. But they're not terrible. They just a little light in the middle. They're a little light in the middle. But Northwestern's proving to be one of the most overrated teams in the country this year. And they don't have the same excuses that the Gophers do. Gophers win tonight.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. And remember, this is the guy that gave you
the stone cold lead lead pipe lock.
Yep. So you can count on this.
I'm going to let you in on a little secret, Patrick.
Yeah.
Chris and I have noticed sometimes when you predict things, you're very wrong. That's when Chris really started to worry about the Vikings when you made that prediction.
I'm not kidding. I said, "Oh my God, this is 2001."
If you had told me that Wayne's Rhodes and Harrison Smith were going to become the equivalent of Waswa Serwanga, I would have
and Robert Tate. You
know, I would have made a different prediction.
Okay, what was your prediction leading up to 41 Donut before it happened?
I think I had us winning.
Yeah,
but that was more. I wanted to put Denny in a situation where if he won, we were expecting it. Than actually,
you were doing the opposite of setting up the loss.
Yeah, I was setting up the win.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, one of my five happiest moments as a journalist. Kirby's home run. Number two, Denny walking off the field after 41 donuts.
Oh, God. Weren't you and others shushed at that game for laughing in the press
Brzezinski,
box?
And I got in a little disagreement. Yeah, he was not happy. The laughter and the one-liners that were flying around the press box, wasn't happy. And I said, I'm not the guy behind 34-0 at halftime.
That was such a butt kicking. I'm sitting two rows from the top of the stadium going, oh my God, this is going to be the longest drive home ever.
Gary Collins. Yeah. Gary Collins.
That was awful.
Anyway, here's John.
Hey.
This update's
I just have one question. Royce, what prompts you to continue to pick these games when you know every single game you pick is wrong?
This is not
every
true.
Single one.
This is not true.
Name me one that you got right. Oh, yeah. A big game.
Let me go back through my records.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
This update sponsored by
Shell.
I used
to pick Tiger Woods to win golf tournaments.
There you go. It's bold. Yeah. It's very bold.
Yeah. It was like picking Mike Tyson back in the day, too.
Get the feeling of being rewarded with gold status at Shell with the Fuel Rewards program. Download the Fuel Rewards app, join, and start savings 5 cents a gallon.
Do you know that I was in the Las Vegas Hilton the night Tyson fought James Douglas, and I didn't even go downstairs? And
what?
It was 41-1, and I didn't even go downstairs and put any money on Buster Douglas just for the hell of it.
Had you been cured?
No,
is that why?
I'd spent the day covering something else.
Did you go to the fight?
No, well, the fight was in Tokyo.
Oh, that's right.
It was like at
that's right.
3 in the
and morning. Were in Vegas.
Yeah,
right.
I could have went down and put $100 on it just for giggles, you know, but I didn't do that. So.
That was his first loss, wasn't it?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a big one.
Eagles fans.
The guy I was with stepped out of the room. It was Yatesy. Mm-hmm. Stepped out of the room to use the restroom. He got back and Tyson was out. He was gone. Mm-hmm.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah. Yeah. It was right away, right? Mm-hmm. It was a first or second rounder. First, mm-hmm. Wasn't it?
No, I thought it was like the fifth or sixth round or something.
Did it go a while?
Yeah, Douglas knocked him around pretty good.
Anyway.
Eagles fans unhappy with the treatment that Vikings fans received. The team and the fans of the Vikings are donating to the Mike Zimmer Foundation as a way to say sorry for the idiots that we have in Philadelphia.
Can we be done with this crap? It's great.
Come on.
The Foundation. Yep. The Foundation, Zimmer's Foundation, is in honor of his late wife, Vicky. It's announced it's received a flood of donations since the NFC Championship game from Philadelphia Eagle fans.
Can't rip that one.
As we know, of course, fans of the Vikings were yelled at. Things were thrown at them. Even full beers. I still don't get that.
Well, the fans that donate money, that is absolutely admirable. Everything about it's great. It doesn't make up for the fact that the rest of them are complete turds.
Plus, head coaches can have foundations. Punters can't.
Damn's the rules.
That's my rule.
The foundation is obviously good, but you people are a bunch of crybabies. Just shut your mouths. Just shut up. You went to Philly. What did you expect? Just shut up. Man up.
Agree with that.
You're a bunch of wussies. Mm-hmm. Shut
we
up.
We all told you to stay home.
Oh, my God.
Some late breaking NBA news this afternoon. Coaches have named the Wolves Jimmy Butler to the All-Star
team. No Carl Anthony, huh?
We don't know yet.
Oh.
I think we're still waiting to find out.
Jimmy Butler's the first guy named?
There have been a couple other guys. Okay. Damian Lillard has been named, which is good. He deserves it, too. Mm-hmm. So,
all right.
Glenn Perkins calling it quits. Injuries the past two seasons cutting his career short. He saved 120 games for the Twins and, of course, was a three-time All-Star.
Announced by the Twins, not Glenn Perkins.
Yeah. Forward Twins news, the Tigers have purchased the contract of lefty Caleb Thielbar from the St. Paul Saints.
All right. Go get him, Caleb.
Caleb's a Minnesota native, of course.
Pride of Randolph, John.
Randolph.
Former
Randolph Rocket.
He'll soon turn
great
31
basketball
years
player.
Old.
Oh,
really? Yeah.
Breaking news. It's actually been out for a little bit longer than I thought. Yeah, Chris Haynes of ESPN tweets out, ESPN sources, Minnesota forward, Carl Anthony Towns, has been voted in to make his first All-Star appearance as a Western Conference.
As good as he's been lately, they had to take him. All right.
Any word on Shabazz?
I think we're still waiting on that one.
He's been playing a little the last couple of games. Hey, we better go, Johnny. We got a very nervous traffic guy here to tell us good news tonight.
The Ride with Royce now continues.
Personal foul, 69. Offense. He was giving them the business.
It's time for Late Hits.
Third Pirate dugout, the first baseman, Randall Simon, took a swing at the Italian sausage. Now, the Italian sausage tripped and fell onto another sausage, as you can see there. After a struggle, they both got up and continued to race. We're told that two women were treated at the Brewers First Aid Station, and a spokeswoman for the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Department tells me tonight that Simon, the player who hit the sausage, will be interviewed by deputies. And the matter will likely be referred to the Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office for review. Again, Mike.
Greatest moment in sausage history.
What year was the Randall Simon thing?
I'm thinking 01, 02, somewhere in there. It was that was my favorite
That was a favorite moment.
Sausage moment.
Well, this is a big. This is the best read story at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel website right now.
Mm-hmm.
Next season, it won't be Clement's name attached to the racing sausage tradition at Miller Park. The Journal Sentinel reported Tuesday that Clement Sausage is no longer the contracted sponsor for the four meat-themed costumed runners who make the dash around the bases at Brewers home games. Clement Sausage Company CEO Tom Daneker told the Journal Sentinel that the company had been negotiating a new contract as it had for the last 25 years. And then the Brewers representatives ended negotiations abruptly. Daneker said the Brewers informed him that they had signed a contract to sponsor the sausages with another company. I'm guessing Usinger's.
Is that what you're going
but
with?
It could be Johnsonville.
You know,
it would have to be a Wisconsin company.
They it has to be. You can't go outside the borders. Absolutely
for a few
not.
Lousy dotted. Because it's not the cheese state. It's the sausage.
It is, absolutely.
It is the sausage.
You know, and the unfortunate thing is Clemens is picking a bad time to bail. The Brewers are going to be good next year.
Well, I don't think Clemens is bailing. I think that they just got a better...
They got a better offer.
They didn't give them exactly what they wanted, so they... good as a sausage race is, I like the Presidents myself.
You like the one in Washington, D.C.? Yeah, that one's pretty good.
Now, when you just go and they just have the main four, then it's not so good. But when they throw out William Howard Taft or something, the big fat guy, and then didn't they have a who never won? They went the first 5 years they were there.
I almost had a really tasteless joke, but I didn't.
One of the presidents never won. I can't remember which one. Then he finally won, and it was a huge celebration. I'm not Lincoln, Washington, Jefferson. Who's the fourth one? Teddy Roosevelt.
Was it Teddy? Yeah.
Maybe Teddy's the one who never.
Would they do the Trumper in the president's race?
Oh, they might break him out in a very cartoonish. Almost impossible not to, isn't it?
You'd have to.
Because you could do
get the big wig.
You get the big cartoon and the whole thing. It would be. But they've had quite a few of them. You know, they get a new costume. It's a wonderful tradition. But the sausages are hard to beat. I don't even know. What do we race now?
We got the Target guys. We got the dog, and then we got the mosquito, and we've got a couple other.
What could we race? What could we race that's a strong Minnesota tradition?
Losing.
Yeah.
Here comes 99 on the backstretch.
How about the Vikings?
Around the corner comes 41 donuts.
How about the Vikings racing against a chief a Raider, a
Steeler,
and a Dolphin.
Yeah, yeah.
Or even better, since it's twins, they might not want to take a shot at some of the other franchises in town. You know, here comes Adam Wilk on the backstretch. Yes. You know, failed twins pitching.
Hey, how about you know how happy these? You know how relieved these local teams are that they no longer have to act
like they
give a damn if the Vikings win or not.
Especially the teams currently playing.
Purple colors at Target Field and purple this and purple that. Wessel and I, that's the one thing we've exchanged through the years, is whenever we see a team in a market congratulating another team for the success, we send it to each other because we know it's utter and complete horse beep.
Right.
You know, you think the Twins want to start spring training with all anybody's talking about is what a wonderful World Super Bowl parade that was.
Right. Or the Wild are, you know, going on a Stanley Cup run.
We're all for you. No, you aren't.
No.
You're lying.
Because there's 5,000 people that aren't going to be at your game tonight.
Right. Yes, that's true. That's true. All righty. Hey, Colorado Avalanche beat my Maple Leafs last night in Toronto. They have won 10 in a row. They were terrible.
Weren't they the worst
team in the league last year?
Are we the ones that jump-started them a couple of weeks ago?
Oh, no. But I don't get it. Because they were like young team rebuilding. They got rid of that Duchesne guy. They sent him to Ottawa, right? One of their best players. They were sending out all their old guys. So we got Colorado and Las Vegas battling for dominance in the Western Conference.
Just like we all predicted.
Yeah, we had that one figured out. And you guys give me hell about my occasionally inaccurate predictions. Very occasionally inaccurate predictions. Somebody went back to when I picked Denny to beat the Cowboys in that playoff game down in Dallas.
In 96.
And then they got their ass kicked. Yeah. Well, yeah. Then Dallas lit them up.
How did they go? Well, they went back and found your column?
Yes. So, no, some guy said he remembered it.
Oh.
God almighty. I can't even remember all my inaccurate predictions. How can you remember? You know. All right. We'll be back.
Let's hear the boys' daily complaints.
Manny Hill, you got anything upsetting you today?
Yeah, my daily complaint is, this has been my daily complaint in the past, it's the damn Cleveland Cavaliers.
Mm-hmm.
Just continued drama, and I don't know how much of it is manufactured, I'm guessing some of it is, but it just, we get to this point of the year, every single year, ever since LeBron went back there.
Don't you think this is their worst streak in a while?
Yes, this is probably the worst that they've played since LeBron went back there and they've been to the finals and all that stuff. But it's just, we get to this point of the year and they're not playing well and there's always this drama and, you know, so-and-so is not getting along with so-and-so. And now, you know, they're supposedly mad at Kevin Love because he was supposedly sick on Saturday and they got blown out at home by the Thunder and all this stuff. It's just... And now, oh, is Tyronn Lue going to, is he going to get fired? Is he going to last the season and all this? They've been in the finals 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Well, good grief.
What do you got there, Reavers?
Towards the end of the Vikings debacle in Philadelphia, I ranked personally the five most recent losses in the NFC Championship game on Twitter.
In order?
It was my list. And what I thought were the 98 being one, or 99 being number one, Sunday being number two, and so on. To which people were saying, oh, no, this is number five. It's my list!
Yes, right.
Leave me alone!
And by the way, you're right. This is number two.
It is number two.
This is worse than 41 Donut.
This is worse than 41 Donut, and it's worse than 09/2010. Because there was...
that team overachieved to some degree. Yes.
So leave me alone, people on Twitter.
I don't have a daily complaint, but I'm going to plug the roast once again.
Oh, yes, please.
I did not know that this was... I thought this was Minutemen only. I'm being roasted Friday at noon at Mancini's by the Minnesota Minutemen. It's a fundraiser for Courage Kenny, also the Minnesota Minutemen Amateur Athletic Foundation, and Minutemen in general. They've been around forever, by the way, the Minutemen. They help sell season tickets I went back and I found something. When the Vikings came here, they had to sell 25,000 season tickets before the NFL would officially give them the franchise. The Minutemen were basically the guys who went out and sold them, the local
business
guys.
Did it? Okay, wow.
Yeah, they came out and did it. So anyway, the roast will be at noon at Mancini's, and you can get tickets by going to MinutemenMinutemen.com, $50 each. Pretty good to get a Mancini dinner. We got Charlie Walters coming, Louie Nanny, Lavelle will be there, Jim Carter will be there.
Folks, here's your chance to watch Ricey get roasted
in
public.
And the fellow who does the Ricey impersonation, the Rook won't be there.
No,
the other guy.
The really good one, right.
Yeah, the guy who's much better than Rook. So anyway, if you want to come and see me get insulted after all these years of dishing out insults, it's about time.
Think about it. You could go in person and you can't block them on Twitter.
No, I can't. I gotta put up with it, and I'm all in favor of it. So anyway... If you want to, Minutemen, MinnesotaMinutemen.com if you want to join us on Friday at Mancini's. We will do this tomorrow.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.